pleasure to bring in Andy Baggerly at CSN Bags with two G's on Twitter. Follow his blog, follow all the tweets, and you'll know what's going on with the Giants. Andy, how are you?
I'm good, Marty. They're already lining up outside Tropicana Field. It's Joe Madden Garden Gnome Day, so everybody in South Florida or in Central Florida wants one of those. So, no, it's nice to be here. We don't come here very often. I haven't been here since I was covering the Angels in the American League. That was 2001, I guess. So it's been about a dozen years for me. So nice to come back here. The ballpark isn't great, but the hotel we stay at certainly is. It's a really nice place, and I think everybody's kind of enjoying it.
Yeah, and you know, you were in Toronto, of course, for the debacle that led to the demise of the Giants so far in 2013. Is this park different as far as, you know, the Giants seem to play a little better? Of course, they did last night. Toronto, as they were sleepwalking. What's the difference?
You know what? I think a couple differences is the roof here is a little darker than in Toronto when the roof is closed. So I think there's a little more contrast when a ball's in the air. I think the turf also is a little less spongy than it is in Toronto, you know, where it really can take, you know, wicked hops and hard hops. And if you charge a ball and it bounces in front of you, it could go over your head. That isn't as much of an issue here. So I think it plays a little bit better, to be honest, than Toronto does. But, you know, when you got Madison Bumgarner striking out 11 and putting fewer balls in play, that can make a difference, too.
Bumgarner, he's made a breakthrough, Andy, in my opinion, this year. It's, you know, he was terrific last year, World Series and all the stuff that he's done. All of a sudden now in the regular season, you give him the ball, seven innings or more, three earned runs or less, nine times in a row. This is not anything to take lightly.
No, and you know what? I think the game notes found out it was the first streak of those numbers a Giants pitcher has put up since Gaylord Perry. I figured out last night that no Giants starter had just pitched seven innings in nine consecutive starts since Big Daddy Rick Rushel in 1988. Wow. With Bumgarner, they like to call him Big Country. He doesn't really like that nickname as much, but I think he'll just go by Bum, but whatever you call him. You know, he's been that guy who's kept it from being topsy-turvy because you know, they've had an innings deficit all year long, and he's the one guy in that rotation that can really give the bullpen a break, and they've needed it. So, you know, really can't overstate how valuable he's been to this team this year. I mean, you know, the numbers show he's awfully good, 260 ERA. And how about that batting average against? I mean, it's 193.
Right.
That's second in the National League. He's tied with Harvey of the Mets, and only Kershaw at 190 is better. So you got a 1-2-3 there of Kershaw, Bumgarner, and Harvey. If that doesn't tell you, you know, that he's reaching that elite level, then, you know, I don't know what will.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking that as you were talking. I'm saying, all right, in my mind, who else would be up there? I said Kershaw and Harvey, maybe a Wainwright. But there aren't many others behind him, I'll tell you that. And what that means is that's potential as he grows older, and that's Cy Young stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And I think he is going to get some Cy Young votes, maybe even this year if he finishes really strong. And that obviously was his issue last year. And one of the years, really, I didn't think that the Giants were going to go very far in the postseason, to be quite honest, because Bumgarner had really struggled over the last 2 months. Ryan Vogelsong had really struggled over the last 2 months. And, of course, they found a way to get it done and you know, took Bumgarner out of the postseason rotation, put him back in just in time for game two of the World Series. So, but yeah, I think that's the thing he's learning this year, how to pitch without his best stuff or without his best command. And, you know, he asked him point blank, you have been able to seven innings, one run against a team that was 3-2 against lefty starters, the best winning percentage in baseball. So they've really been destroying lefties. Right. And he said, you know, no, he probably couldn't have had a start like that a year ago. He wouldn't have found a way to get it done, and this year he has.
Nice. What a nice jump for him. Andy Baggerly with the CSN Bags with two Gs on Twitter. Zito, he's not going to pitch tomorrow, and all the quotes from him, you've talked to him. He seems all right with it. Moscoso goes, and what does the future hold for him now?
Well, you know, I don't think we've seen the last of Barry Zito in terms of a starting pitcher. You know, the Giants have a lot of ways they can go. If indeed the Dodgers just zoom and they're impossible to be caught and it looks like the Giants tread water for a few more weeks and then everyone sort of realizes this isn't going to happen, for them this year, then I think you're going to look at them go to a six-man rotation. That's what I asked Bruce Bochy the other day, and he said, yeah, they've already talked about that possibility. It's not something you want to do while you still are, you know, have a chance or a sliver of hope, because, you know, it kind of looks like you're raising a white flag at that point. But, you know, I think there's no doubt that the pitching into deep into October, two of the previous 3 years, they're kind of paying the tax for that, guys like Kane especially. And if they can maybe space them out a little bit, they go lighter on their starts and maybe even give them, you know, an extra day of rest, go with a six-man rotation down the stretch, and then I think that that's a pretty good idea and one that they're kicking around. So Zito still has a part to play on this team, but, you know, I mean, we all know the numbers, 9.97 ERA on the road. They're winless in his nine starts away from AT&T Park, and, you know, they had to change it. As Bruce Bochy said, it just had to change, and so that's why he's not going to take the ball on Sunday.
Yeah, no, there's no question. The numbers tell the story there. You know, I was thinking this. I think a lot. You know that about baseball. I was thinking of all the stories that are still untold of this season. And, you know, you get to August and, you know, sometimes you guys having great years. Matt Harvey, you know, Kershaw, Puig, and Goldschmidt. You know, sometimes you know the story already. I'm not so sure what the story is on Sandoval. I don't know what the story is on Lincecum. And I don't know what the story is on Belt. I think those stories are yet to be told for this whole season.
I think Vogelsong's got a story to tell, too. I mean, let's not forget he's got a $6.5 million option that the Giants have to decide what to do with. And Lincecum as well. You know, they could offer him the qualifying offer, and maybe he ends up taking it. Who knows? Maybe you could end up with Vogelsong and Lincecum back in the rotation next year. I do think, in Vogelsong's case, that you know he doesn't have to do a whole lot to get that option picked up. He just has to look like he's, you know, somewhat back on track. But yeah, there's the story to be told there as well. And Belt. I mean, we've all gone back and forth with him over the years. The Giants acknowledge that he was brought to the big leagues before he was ready. The coaches have been nudging him, as he said, pretty much the entire time to get out of certain habits. When he's drifting forward in the box or when he's wrapping his hands or, you know, just to keep his bat in the zone a little bit longer, because when he's going bad, that bat's just, he just flicks the bat and it's in and out of the zone too fast. You know, and you get those hits to the opposite field by keeping your bat in the zone longer. And then, of course, you know, you get those hits over the fence when you get the bat head out. And I think that's what coaches keep working on him to do. And, you know, maybe it takes a four strikeout game like he had for him to sort of buy in and take a couple days to work on things. Now the key, as even he said last night, is for him to go out and do it again, or at least have some good at bats the next day. And it can't be a 1 day a week, 2 day a week thing. That is the proof. That is the fire kiln of a 162 game season. You have to do it every day. Maybe not get three hits every day, but just have consistent at bats every day.
Yeah,
and, be the same guy every day.
It's so the key to winning. You know it. The key to winning is consistent baseball. When I hand you the ball, I want it back after six or seven innings. I don't want it back in the third inning. And that's the pitching story as well. But when this team pitches, it's a whole different ball game. And I go back to the Cubs series, other than Zito getting lit up on Tuesday night. They've pitched here for the past week or so, and the baseball looks better.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and you know what? We've seen it with some Padre teams over the years, and when especially before they downsized Petco. You know, if you're in a 2-1 game, maybe it only takes an error or a couple of fluky singles or Hunter Pence reaching on a chopper and then someone runs into one. You know, it can be one swing that can win the game for you. And it doesn't even need to be something that you do right. It could be something the other team does wrong. But in a one-run game, you know, it can make the difference. You're just in games, and then you just mathematically have a chance. And when you don't pitch, you don't give yourself that opportunity. The other thing is scoring early. I think that's such a big thing for this team. When they can get that run in the first or second inning, then when they play from ahead, they're pretty darn good at the manufacturing runs. Playing from behind, they were very good at that the first 2 months of the season, and then that really got away from them. So, you know, as Brandon Crawford said it pretty well the other day, I think. He said, you know, I don't think that we go into games pressing. I don't think we go into games thinking about what we did the previous day. But you're down 4-0, and then you start pressing. Then you start thinking, oh, gosh, you know, we got to put a rally together. And that's been one of the problems this year.
Boy, I'll tell you, another staff from the notes today, three quality starts in a row, and then probably six out of seven, really, except for Zito's. The last time they had four in a row was back in June, probably the San Diego series. Everything goes back to San Diego. when they won three in a row and the whole thing. But how about that stat? And this is August. Three quality starts in a row. How about that?
And they're 30-27 against teams with winning records. So it's not like they're being outclassed on the field. They're beating themselves. And that's really been the case all season. You know, you just can't lose three out of four at home to the Marlins like they have. You can't let the Cubs sweep you at home like they did. You know, and the offense couldn't come up with any big hits. But when they go up against good teams and good pitchers, they don't necessarily get it handed to them like maybe they did, you know, in 2005, 2006, some of those teams. So that makes you think, you know, maybe this is a one-year aberration. Maybe it is. I'm not saying it is, but if you're looking for some hope, maybe you could start there.
No, I agree with you. I know you got to go to work. One last thought for you. Are they still in this thing? And I put it in this way, maybe not to win it, because, you know, you'd have to have a miracle of all miracles and the Dodgers fold up and other teams fold up. But are they still in it to make, maybe come in second and make a legitimate run and get some momentum for next year? Or have they really just thrown in the towel?
Well, one thing that they haven't thrown in the towel, for one thing that I think you can almost bank on is the wild card's going to come out of the NL Central. I'll be shocked if it doesn't, even though, you know, the Reds are 10 over right now, but they're just too good a team. I think they're going to finish strong. And I don't think the Pirates are going to collapse again like they did last year. But, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to Joe Maddon, and for me, Joe Maddon was my Ron Wotus when I first started covering baseball as a beat writer. He was the bench coach of the Angels my first couple of years traveling around for a newspaper, and we could talk to him every day about any topic. And, you know, not surprising at all to me that he's had a great managerial career here in St. Pete. And I think Wotus would be a good manager as well, because they're alike in a lot of respects. But I'm getting off track.
No, I know, but Maddon has a philosophy of baseball, and he can see the game.
Yeah, he can. But and I was talking to him on the field yesterday, and he said, you know, these guys are not out of it. We were 10 back of the wild card on September 3rd and came back and won. And I said, well, yeah, but Joe, how many teams did you have to climb over? He said, well, just one, the Red Sox. And I said, yeah, and they kind of imploded, right? And he said, well, yeah, they did. And I said, okay, well, the Giants have to climb over four teams in the division. And, you know, granted, a couple of them, a good week, they could get into third place real quick. But, you know, the Dodgers, I don't think they're going to crater the way that Red Sox team did. But the Giants do have 2 months, not 1 month, to get it done. So I think there's belief in that clubhouse. I think that they know the odds are stacked against them. But if Bruce Bochy has these guys thinking the right way, and I think he does, they're going to think about, hey, let's play today's game. Let's do our best, play our best baseball, be focused, pitch well, catch a ball, you know, be opportunistic, get those timely hits, believe in each other, and then let the chips fall. And that's really the only thing they can do. And when you look up at the end, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll shock everybody. I wouldn't bet on it, but they did win six elimination games in the postseason, and this is the same group. So I don't really see a lot of quit. And, you know, it starts with believing.
Yeah. Boy, you sound like the Reverend Hunter Pence.
Well, it's not my job to fire up the troops, right?
Well, you sounded, but no, I was talking, I'm thinking to myself that that's exactly after the first two Reds losses. As I always said, you play them one day at a time, and you win one, you come back and win the next one. And last thought for you: is anybody hit?
Hey, wait, Marty, you know what? You know what, Marty?
Yeah,
I just want one more day with you.
That's right. I want to see you. I want to see your outfit, that suit you wear, one more time. That's what I want to see. As Terrio said, as Terrio used to say. All right, listen. Anybody hit more dribblers than Hunter Pence?
No, I pointed that out in my post game blog.
Oh, did you? I didn't see it. Okay.
I put that line down in my post game blog. It occurred to me when he got that infield hit. You know, and I've seen a lot of guys get a lot of infield hits. Cover Dave Roberts, you know, guys like him. Sometimes a bunter hits. Got a little fast guys. Ichiro certainly was the king of infield hits, but not a middle-of-the-order run producer.
Yeah.
He's just able to put so many balls in play because he can extend so far and get that outside pitch. And usually it's a slider away. I mean, it's not a quality pitch, but he's fighting it off with two strikes maybe. The key is that he's swinging at that pitch with two strikes and putting it in the play, not that he's swinging at that pitch, you know, with no strikes or one strike, because, you know, you're generally not going to make quality contact. But, yeah, that's one reason I'm sure that he gives pitchers fits, is because you can never quite make a safe pitch to him. And the same goes for Pablo when he's going good.
Well, I love it. Very good. All right, let's see. You know, Lincecum, David Price today. It's an interesting ball game. Two-thirds of the season down already, only 54 to go.
Yeah, I'm going to head down and see what's shaking in that clubhouse and probably fire some post-game notes. And reminder, you can always find everything on my archive page. I'll tweet a link to it so you can bookmark it. Yeah. In case the site gets difficult to navigate. But csnbayarea.com. We always hustle everything up there as fast as we can. So please do click often.
That's terrific. Just terrific. Andy, thank you so much, as always.
Thanks, Marty.
All right. Yeah, you too. Have a good evening. Boy, I love talking ball with Andy. CSN Bay Area, of course, and you can follow him on Twitter as well.